Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Chris Mack, our good friend from Pittsburgh. Chris, great to have you with us on the show, as always, my friend.
Good to be with you, Steve. I see you're still telling stories. We all know it was you up on the table at the Christmas party.
I usually like to use code names. So, I actually want to start with the Pirates. I know you're shocked.
Do we have to?
Well, actually, no. But it's a good story.
Okay.
The latest local TV ratings came out for Major League Baseball. Viewership for Major League Baseball, as well as attendance, was up about 9 to 10%. Mm-hmm. The Pirates' TV ratings increased 72%. Over last year. What does it tell you about when Pirates fans get a taste of what they think might be something good? What does it tell you about the fan base?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, we observed what is somewhat of a holiday in Pittsburgh and for Pirate fans this past weekend when it was the 10-year anniversary of that first wild card game against the Reds and Cueto and Russell Martin and all that. So when this city gets engaged with baseball, When it gets engaged with anything, really, it gets engaged in a big way. Now, can this city also be a bit of a front runner from time to time? Absolutely. When the Pirates stink, nobody's interested. The Pirates stunk out loud last year. I think there was a noticeable improvement down the stretch this year. You could see it in their record. And I think there's a little bit of hope in there, too, that it was mostly young guys who were supposed to get better, develop, and be a part of the core going forward. It wasn't a bunch of retreads or has-beens or never-will-bes. And so there is some hope, you know, that you could bring back six or seven starters from this team, roll out a very similar lineup next year, and with a few well-timed supplements to the roster, you could add another 5, 6, 7 wins, and then bring back O'Neill Cruz for a full season. Maybe get Paul Skeens for the bulk of the season. Okay, now we're going to add another 5, 6, 7 wins. Before you know it, you do some quick math, and this team is not far off from competing or at least being in the conversation for a wild card next year, which I think you will see when that happens. And it's just a matter of time, I believe, whether it's next year or the year after, that this team kind of gels and comes together. You'll see that continue. You'll see this city sort of rally behind the baseball team because, again, when teams are doing well in Pittsburgh, people are all in.
I mean, there's no question about it. And I just think that it is, it just shows you something about the fan base. And I agree with you. I mean, look, the Marlins made the playoffs this year. They very much were in the same vein as the Pirates have been in terms of what their record was last year and so forth. But I just thought, when I saw the 72% increase, I thought that was pretty impressive.
Yeah, I also think it comes at a very good time financially because they're trying to figure out how valuable their TV contract is, you know, with the with the purchase of Sportsnet Pittsburgh by Fenway Sports Group. And, you know, we don't know what that's going to look like for their broadcast next year. Are they operated by Major League Baseball? Do they get into business with Fenway? And if so, how much money can they make on it? I think there's a very good point to be proven there by the Pirates when they go to sit down at a table with either group. Hey, we can tell you that when we are competitive, we are going to bring eyeballs to our advertisers' products, which can only help to serve them. And you get a little bit of a chicken and the egg cycle where if your TV contract makes you enough money, you can use it to supplement your roster, and then your roster gets better and the ratings grow. And, you know, there we go, round and round.
All right, so let's get to the Steelers. Are we seeing now, and did it really begin last year, where after dodging for years, in part because they have Ben Roethlisberger, that trend of being up and down, which every team in the NFL has experienced really except for really Green Bay, Pittsburgh, and New England until recently. We're finally seeing the fact that they're not drafting in the upper half and consistently, and that's finally getting them.
Yeah, I mean, I think specifically on the offensive side of the ball, Steve, you can trace the issues all the way back to Todd Haley's departure before the 2018 season, after the 2017 season. And the defense really was in a shambles at that point. Didn't really start to find its footing again until T.J. Watt fully developed. Cam Hayward was still around then, of course, but they go out and get Minkah Fitzpatrick in 2019. The defense is very much very top-heavy and built on those guys.
Right,
and we've seen
yeah.
it top-heavy. You know, last year with Watt missing, they struggled. This year with Cam Hayward missing, they're struggling in the run game. And if their defense doesn't make what Mike Tomlin likes to call the splash plays, then they're very much in trouble. On the offensive side of the ball, you could argue that they became about the splash play at the end of the Roethlisberger-Brown-Bell era, which coincided then with the departure of Todd Haley, the holdout by Le'Veon Bell. 2018, I think they got by with Randy Feuchner as their offensive coordinator because Ben still had Antonio Brown to focus the offense on. AB goes off the rails. He disappears. 2019 is the Ben Roethlisberger injury and Randy Feuchner mismanaging Mason Rudolph, who's a big-armed Big 12 quarterback and should be slinging the ball down the yard and instead goes check down city. And then 2020 is a brief pocket of excellence for 11 games before the league figures them out and Feuchner and Ben fail to adjust. 2021, we get Matt Canada's first year, but it's with Ben, and Ben doesn't want to deal with a new offensive coordinator, so we don't know if it's Canada's system or not. 2022 is the first year of Pickett with Matt Canada. We see some growth in the back half of the season, it feels like, but now we're here in 2023. Canada can't figure it out. Kenny Pickett isn't good enough to make Matt Canada look good. Matt Canada isn't good enough to make Kenny Pickett look good, and now we're stuck. And I think you're right. We're at the point where if you do not draft exceedingly well in the back half of the first round, you don't know what you're going to get. There's a chance you get a third-round talent who happened to measure well and perform well at a combine. There's a chance somebody falls to you. But look, the two points can be married together, I think, to crystallize what the Steelers have become, which is this somewhere right around 9-win team every year, more often than not anyway. Again, 2020 was a bit of an outlier for a multitude of reasons. For about the last half decade now, they've been about a 9-win team because the offense isn't good enough. The defense, like I said, is too top-heavy. And while there are talents here and there that they have hit on, deals that they have hit on here and there, it hasn't been enough. So I think you make a good point about if you don't go through that full down cycle occasionally, you might not always catch the upswing. It's starting to feel, honestly, Steve, very similar to when the Steelers of the early to mid-'80s went through that. Towards the end of Chuck Knoll's tenure when they were consistently right around a 9-win team, right? You know, the Super Bowl Steelers of the 70s, for the most part, had cycled out other than a few. You know, Mel Blunt stuck around for a while. John Stallworth played into the late 80s. But they were never quite all the way down, so they never quite bounced all the way back up. They were lucky that with Bill Cowher coming in, they were able to bounce back up the way they did in the 90s. But I think that was more the exception rather than the rule and an anomaly, and it's kind of backed up by the point that you make there.
All right, so now let's go back to the question when I was talking about the Pirates and their fan base watching the games on TV and 72% increase in TV ratings. So now let's change that to the Steeler fan base. I know I asked you this before, but now we're going through it. Are they ready for this, or are they disgusted by it?
Oh, fans are disgusted. They're not prepared. Steeler fans are very unprepared to not be contenders. And competitiveness on a yearly basis, and I think this is what feeds the Rooneys and Mike Tomlin's philosophy about the organization, competitiveness on a regular basis will occasionally have you thinking that you're a contender when maybe you really aren't. And that trickles down into the fan base. And it's been their philosophy, I think, for the last 10 to 15 years that they don't have to aim for greatness. They just need to aim for consistent good. And if they're consistently good, then occasionally they might catch that lightning in a bottle like some teams have in the past and have a great year. But that, again, to circle back around to the point you just made about never truly bottoming out, is not really a philosophy for ensuring yourself greatness in some cases. Yeah. And the fans, again, because we are now, what, four, five generations deep on the expectation being greatness, are not ready for either A, a bottoming out, or B, just consistent nine-win seasons. That's not good enough. It's been 15 years now since the team has won a Super Bowl, and more than 10 since they've been back to one. And no, Steeler fans are not prepared for that level of what for them is considered mediocrity. If this were Detroit or Jacksonville or Arizona, that kind of run would be looked at as consistently serving your fan base. Here, it's looked at as consistently disappointing your fan base.
What is the patience level with Kenny Pickett among the fan base right now?
It's very split, as I think you would imagine. People who, and I hate to make it this, but people who are ardent and strident Pitt fans have a little bit more patience for Kenny Pickett because they believe he has not been served well by the system. And he hasn't been served well by Matt Canada the last 2 years. That's a fair observation. But it doesn't recuse Kenny Pickett from any and all responsibility for not coming in the first month of this season and looking much better than he did last year. He looks worse, Steve, the first four games this year than he did his first four games last year,
which is
remarkable.
Yeah.
He was bad the first four starts last year against some really good defenses, granted, but he looks bad this year. And I think from people who don't feel an attachment to him as a one-time Pitt quarterback and Heisman nominee in that one great year he had where they won the ACC championship, for people who don't feel that attachment, they are much more realistic and now becoming much more skeptical about Kenny Pickett and whether, you know, last Christmas Eve against the Raiders and the following week against the Ravens and the last 2 months last season may have been the peak and may have been the anomaly to for a guy who may not be what we thought he could be.
My friend, it is always a pleasure, and we'll invite you to the holiday party next year.
All right, I'll provide the lampshades and we'll do the dancing.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it.